This morning is one of the most important days of our church year. It's such an important day that it even has two names. We call it Palm Sunday. We also call it the Sunday of the Passion. And there is no other day quite like this one on our calendar, and that might not be a bad thing. In its own way, it's a very beautiful day. Yet no other day is as emotionally charged or can become as frustrating as this particular Sunday. No other day starts off as a major feast day with all of us celebrating and then quickly turn into one of the darkest days on our church calendar. Today has so many ups and downs and curves to it. It's like a roller coaster, but it's like one big, messy, and emotionally out of control roller coaster. And like some mad and crazy roller coaster, it takes us to the highest heights, and then moments later, bring us down to the lowest lows. It feels like ages ago, but it was just a few moments when we started out the day in the fellowship hall. And joining with the ancient crowds, we greeted Jesus as he arrived in triumph into the holy city of Jerusalem. Waving our palms, we joined the crowds that were lining the streets. And we called out our Hosanna. Then, with palms in hands, we marched out of the hall, around the church, and then into the nave. And all the while, we were singing all glory, laud, and honor. But now, just a few minutes later, the mood suddenly changed. Our joy has turned into something darker, almost sinister. And with the dramatic readings of Christ's Passion according to St. Luke, we now join that crowd that ushered Christ's entry into Jerusalem so joyfully. We now join them as they demand his death. Standing before Pilate, we join the Pharisees and priests and the people of Jerusalem as we screamed out, "Crucify! Crucify him!" But then we move to the place of the skull. And with that very same crowd, we stand. With them, we watch Jesus. We see the cloud come over the sky. Things begin to darken and dim. And then we hear Jesus cry out with his last voice, with his very last breath, "Father, into your hand I commend my spirit." And then we watch as Joseph of Arimathea removes Christ's holy yet broken body from the cross and bring it to the tomb. We watch as the women begin to make preparations for the body. We watch as the stone covering the tomb is rolled into place. And we recall the words of the centurion, "Certainly this man was innocent." As Sundays go, as I've said earlier, this one is an emotional roller coaster, as maybe my southern friends would refer to as one big hot mess. One moment, we are filled with joy at the top of the hill. But then we find ourselves plunging straight down, no brakes, no stops, into this giant brick wall of despair, guilt, and sorrow. We have gone from the joy of promise and victory to the agony of loss and pain in about 20 minutes' time. So if by now you're feeling a little tired and a bit emotional, it's only to be expected. We've been through a lot in just a few minutes. But think about it for a moment. If we have gone through an emotional ride, what about Jesus? One day, he is the superstar of Zion. He rides in the city and cannot do anything wrong. You have crowds cheering him. You have his disciples and friends gathered around him, displaying their love and loyalty. He can do no wrong. But then, a few days later, he is a social pariah and being treated as the worst criminal. And he is not only being treated this way by the Romans, but by his very own people, for those he has come to save. So as I am listening to the readings this morning, as I have studied them throughout the last week or so and preparing my sermon, as I think about what Jesus went through that day, I cannot help but ask why. Why would Jesus, who is the Son of God, why would he go through such agony? Why would Jesus suffer the pains of rejection as well as the pain of the nails entering his flesh? Why would Jesus suffer the humiliation of rejection? Why did he not only submit to the humiliation of death on the cross? But why was he willing to forgive those who were mocking him? Not only forgive them, but offer them eternal life. As I ponder these questions and many more, as I was writing my sermon for this week, and as I imagined the various scenes, I couldn't help but think about the words of the old shape note hymn. What wondrous love is this, O my soul, what wondrous love is this, O my soul, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to lay aside his crown for my soul, to lay aside his crown for my soul. My sisters and brothers, through our gospels on this most holy day, we have experienced many things. We have gone through a wide range of emotions. We have witnessed the mood of the crowd change extremely. We have gone from joy to sorrow, wonder to anger. We have experienced happiness and then confusion. And yes, we even experienced some hate. But of all the feelings and all the emotions, of all that we have gone through, there is one thing that I hope that you take away from you today. One thought, one feeling. It is the one that Jesus felt the most. It is the one that led him to his cross willingly and without reservation. It is the one thing that no matter what else happens to us in this life, it is the one thing that will see us through it. And that is love. Yes, love. You see, without love, none of what has happened today, the ride into Jerusalem, the arrest, the crucifixion, the burial, if it was not for love, none of these things would have mattered. It would have just been another member of the Jewish people who had been convicted and made a public display by the Romans. It would have gone on with very little notice. You see, it is love that brings us to the foot of the cross. For God loves us so much, so completely, so unconditionally. God is willing to do whatever it takes to bring us back to God, even if it means the death of God's only begotten Son. And it is the same love, the same wondrous love, that sees the need of our neighbor before ourselves. It is this wondrous love that heals the worst of wounds, that soothes the hurt. It is this wondrous love that can see past our sin and see all that we can be, even if we cannot see it even in ourselves. It is this wondrous love that Jesus is calling us to have in our own hearts as well. We are living in a world that is wounded and broken. It is a time when anger seems to be prevalent. When we hear hatred being spouted more across the airwaves than any other thing. Instead of a sense of unity, more and more pundits, politicians, people in general seem to be speaking of separation. And sadly, they speak of it at times in the name of Jesus. It is now more than ever that this most wondrous love of Jesus is most needed. And there is no time like this very moment. Today, from now on, that our call to share Christ's wondrous love with everyone else is most needed. So we need to be brave. We need to be willing. We need never forget that the love of Christ is never wasted, is never trite, and is never powerless when it comes to changing the world in which we live. And most important of all, the wondrous love of Christ can never be wasted, so we can give it freely and abundantly with all our hearts and with all our minds and with all our soul. With Jesus' most wondrous love, all things are possible. My sisters and brothers, because of his wondrous love, Christ's death on the cross was not in vain. Instead, it has been made magnified. It is to us a testament to all people, to all of God's children, of the power of love. So, my fellow Christians, I call upon you to take this wondrous love so freely given to us, a love that was bought for us at such a price. I call you to take it out of the world and to give it away. That's it. Give it away freely, without thought or reservation. Give that love away. Share it with your sister. Share it with your brother, your neighbor. Most important of all, share it with the person you see as your enemy. Share with everyone. As I've talked about before, like a candle, the love of Christ does not diminish the more candles we light with that one flame. Instead of diminishing, that flame gets brighter and brighter as we light more lives with it. So, my brothers and sisters, I call upon you today to go out into the world, to be Christ, to be the church, to be wondrous, but most important of all, to be love. For if we need anything right now, it's love.